Thank you for tuning in to the sermon webcast of Living Savior. We are one church serving in two locations, Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information, go to lsavior.org.
I have to tell you, it's always a little bit tough to come into a room full of people, or in this case, talk through a computer screen to a group of people where everyone else is familiar with each other, familiar with their surroundings, familiar with their customs and their routines and who does what and who sits where, and to be the one person in that entire scenario who is unfamiliar can be just a little bit awkward. But on the bright side, if that has to be the case this morning, I'm thankful that at the very least we get to talk about something that I think is at least somewhat familiar to us all. I mean, in general, Jesus' miracles are parts of his life story that even the wider world around us knows about. Not every miracle, of course, but certain ones. And I think this one, there was this time, actually there were two times, when Jesus took a small amount of food and he used it to feed a very large group of people. And I think for a lot of people that kind of sort of sounds at least a little bit familiar. But the problem with the fact that this is what we are talking about this morning is this. Out of all the miracles that people are familiar with, out of all the miracles that Jesus ever performed, would you even want Jesus to perform this miracle for you? In fact, let's think about it this way. If life with Jesus came with a miracle button that you were allowed to press just one time in your entire life, when do you think you would press it? When someone you love deeply dies too soon and you want them back? Yes, please. You're surrounded by violent and uncontrollable storms, either literal or figurative, and you want life to be calm once again? Yep, You're sick and you want to be healed. You're hunted by demons and you want them driven out. You're hosting a big party and you're about to have egg on your face because you didn't plan the drink menu very well. Okay, fine. But you have a day where you're so busy, or you're on the road, or you can't find a restaurant, or you're a little short on cash, and so you miss a meal and you want Jesus to feed you? I mean, is that really the time to press that miracle button? Or maybe, just maybe, do you ignore your grumbling stomach and save that button for later? Out of all the miracles that Jesus ever performed that people are familiar with, the feeding of the 5,000 is perhaps among the most impressive, but might it also be among the most pointless, the least urgent, the least necessary? Well, the good news is this miracle is not just about Jesus feeding this huge group of his followers. It's actually about Jesus feeding a huge group of people through his followers. And the reason that's good news is because it means that the situation in which you and I need Jesus to do the very same thing for us is not when we miss a meal. It's not when our stomach is empty of food. Instead, it's when our life is empty of purpose. When that day in, day out grind, that routine, that rat race that it often feels we're so caught up in and sure does keep us busy, also seems to have no point. That it doesn't matter, that it makes no difference. If you've ever felt that, then this miracle is for you. Because what this miracle will teach us this morning is not so much about work that Jesus does for us. Instead, it will teach us that Jesus shares with us and shows to us his work. I feel like maybe I need to prove that for a minute. I mean, if this miracle were simply about Jesus feeding a bunch of people, here's how I think it would have gone. As it got late in the day, Jesus would have waited until the people's stomachs started grumbling. Jesus would have stood up in front of the entire group. He would have raised his voice. He would have gotten everyone's attention, and he would have told them what he was going to do. Then he would have done it. He would have just snapped his fingers, and poof, a plate full of food for everyone. If this miracle were simply about Jesus feeding a bunch of people, here's how it wouldn't have gone. Jesus wouldn't have let his disciples be the ones to notice the problem. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. He wouldn't have let them propose their own solution to the problem. They said, send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And when Jesus suggested his own solution to the problem, he certainly wouldn't have involved them. Jesus answered his disciples. He said, "You give them something to eat." See, Jesus didn't just want to feed all these people. He wanted to feed all these people through his disciples. He took that work of providing for all of these people's needs and he shared it with his followers. That's the first lesson that this miracle teaches us. Not to see ourselves as one of those hungry people that are hoping for a handout from Jesus, but instead to see ourselves as one of Jesus' followers, surrounded by hundreds, even thousands of people who have all kinds of needs. And to know that Jesus takes that work, his work of providing for all of those needs and for all of those people, and he shares it with us. Jesus makes us his eyes in the world to see those who lack, to see those who are weak, to see those who are defenseless. He makes us his ears in the world to hear the groans of those who suffer and the cries of those who grieve. He makes us his hands in the world to share with those who have need, to pick up those who have fallen down, to embrace those who are alone. He makes us his mouth in the world to deliver his message of truth, his love, his forgiveness, his salvation. Just like here, Jesus isn't simply interested in providing for a bunch of needy people. Instead, he's interested in doing so through us. But do you see the problem? I think it took the disciples all of a millisecond to see the problem with Jesus' plan. Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." And unfortunately, our translation sort of masks the sarcasm that I think is present in their response. They say back to Jesus, "Sure, let's go out and spend more than a half year's salary so we can feed all these people. Brilliant idea, Jesus." Was Jesus out of touch with reality for asking them to feed all of these people? No. In fact, he made sure that they knew precisely the reality of the situation they were facing. He wanted them to do all of the math, to run all of the calculations. First, he had them add up how much they had. That part was pretty easy. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Then he says to them, "Go and have all the people sit down in groups." In other words, get a crystal clear idea of just how many people there are. And Mark tells us there were 5,000 men. In other words, we might say 5,000 families. 10, 15, maybe even 20,000 people. So 20,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus didn't just share his work with them. Jesus showed his work to them. He wanted them to be painfully aware of just how much was needed and how little they had. So when Jesus asks us to be his eyes and his ears and his hands and his mouth in a world full of human need, it's not because he's out of touch with reality. In fact, he wants us to do the math and crunch the numbers. Go ahead and add up just how much need there is. Think about the people in your family who need a roof over their heads and clothes on their backs and food on their plates. Think about the parent who calls after getting bad news from the doctor. Think about the friend who needs time to talk because she's having boy problems. Think about the boss who every week seems to expect more and more out of you, including more of your time. And then think about the massive number of people in our world who are living in squalor, who are victims of hatred and violence, who live without any comfort or hope, who don't know Jesus, and who are on the path to eternal destruction. Go ahead and then add up how little it seems that you have to meet all of that need. Know with certainty that this week you are going to get 168 hours, and that's it, not a second more. Know that money doesn't just grow on trees and you can only spend as much as you make. Realize the limitations of your power, your courage, your influence, your talent, your ability to say the right thing and share what you believe. That's the entire point of what Jesus does here. He doesn't just share his work with you. He shows his work to you. He wants you to be painfully aware of just how much is needed and how little it seems that we have. Because then when the work still gets done, there will be no mistaking how. Again, note carefully how Jesus proceeds. He doesn't just snap his fingers and make food appear. He actually uses what the disciples already have, as inadequate as it appears to be. And after looking up to heaven and blessing that food, he then puts it back in their hands. He has them distribute it. Jesus himself doesn't hand out the food. Instead, his 12 disciples do, and then each one of them gathers enough leftovers to fill their own basket. Jesus wanted them to be painfully aware of the difference between how much was needed and how little they had, simply so that he could make it patently obvious that that difference was him. He wanted them to add it all up simply so that they would know that their only hope was his power to multiply. And when Jesus does that, when Jesus multiplies things in miraculous ways, we shouldn't be surprised, because we have a God who is in the business of multiplying. In fact, the next time you are amazed by how much God asks of you, how much he asks you to do with how little you seem to have, here's some math that you can quick run through your head. Start by adding up every sin, every self-centered thought you've ever had, every me-first action you've ever taken, every deceptive word you've ever spoken, every instance of greed, of cold indifference to the human need around you, of lack of compassion for human suffering. Try to add it all up and realize that payment for all of that is what God needed. And how much did God have to work with? One. One person who could do the job. One hope for all mankind. One life of perfect obedience. One life of perfect compassion. One man's willingness to suffer and die. And yet God took that one and he multiplied it into forgiveness and redemption that met the needs of an entire world of sinners. So do you think that God can still do that very thing? Do you think that God can still multiply in that miraculous way? When Jesus shares with us the work of being his eyes and ears, his hands and his mouth in our world, the math isn't difficult. You have finite amounts of time and money and energy and influence, and compared to how much need there is among your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community, and your world, it's not close to enough. But rather than using that as reason to have an iron grip around each and every one of those things, to make sure that you have enough first before you'd even consider giving something to someone else, realize that this is exactly Jesus' plan. It's exactly the conclusion he wants you to come to. You add up what is needed, you add up what you have, also that you realize that your only hope is Jesus' power to multiply. In fact, tell me what sounds like better news. On the one hand, each one of us, with our hands tightly clenched around everything that we have, only concerned that we have all that we need, or each one of us, with our eyes and ears and hands and mouth open to the needs of all the other people around us, and all those same people, with their eyes and ears, their hands and their mouths open to our needs too. That's Jesus' plan. And he still has the multiplying power to execute it. And as he does, realize that Jesus not only fills our stomachs with food, he certainly does that, but he also fills our lives with purpose. Because Jesus shares his work with us, then the very same details that make up that day-to-day grind, that pack our schedules so full and make our lives so busy, that make our to-do lists so long and our nights of sleep so short, each and every one of them has a purpose, provided that we do them not for what they might bring to us, but instead for how Jesus might use them to provide for the needs of others through us. If this miracle really is about work that Jesus shares with us and shows to us, then this is not a miracle that we need some sort of magic button for. It's not a miracle that Jesus did just once or even twice. Instead, this work that Jesus does should be and will be familiar to us all, because Jesus does this very work in our lives each and every day.